focusing on empowering the people that are working with you to be successful, helping them to work in an environment where they feel important, where they feel heard, where they feel like their opinion matters, and where they feel like their ideas are going to be considered. You know, they may not all be put into action or into place, but they're going to be at least considered. When people work in an environment like that, what happens?
What happens? That is what our guest and I, your extremely talented and delightful podcast host and leading advocate for workplace satisfaction, will discuss in today's show. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Kingsley Grant Show, the podcast dedicated to helping you become the leader everyone loves and wants to follow. Kingsley believes his leadership paradigm, Emotelligence, the art of succeeding where others failed, is the key to achieving this status. On this show, Kingsley guides you through the uncharted waters of emotional intelligence and leadership essentials, with the guarantee that upon exit, you will become more skilled in relationship management, decision-making, and job performance. Now here's your host, your coach, and your Sherpa, Kingsley Grant.
Here we go. This is your boy, Kingsley Grant, sitting behind the Jamaican microphone, bringing you yet another show. And it is from the show that's been voted number 3 on the top 15 podcasts on emotional intelligence by FeedSpot. And so I am excited that you are listening to one of the top shows right now. And I'm in the command center of the Emotelligent Leadership Institute, where I'm going to dig into the vault and get today's show so that what you've come for, you will have. So let me reach in right here and get today's show. There it is. I got it. And put it down right here. And now we can dive into today's show. And as you have heard on today's show, we are going to tackle the subject of remote work and how is it that some leaders succeed leading virtual teams. And what is it that makes the difference? Is it something that they do or no? Is it something that is a secret for these leaders that others don't have the inside scoop on? Well, you might be surprised. You might be surprised that what it is something that you as a leader can actually do. What if I told you that this, what makes the difference, is at your fingertip. It's at your disposal. What if I told you that you possess what it takes? Well, my friend, that is what we're going to peel back and share with you today as our guest, Randy McNeely, bring some insights that would really help us understand this dynamic. But before I have him share with you what it is that makes a difference, let me say thank you for being with me on this show today. You don't know how much I appreciate this, and I can only let you know. That's what I can do. That I do appreciate you. If this is your first time, thank you so much for being here, and make sure this is not the only time, but the first of many visits, right? So thank you for being a part of the show today. And if this is your second and third and fourth, or how many other times you've been here, man, I want to say a big thank you for that. I do appreciate you taking the time to be with me on this show. And lastly, this show is being brought to you by Kingspire Communication. Kingspire Communication is that hub, that place where leaders like yourself can go and get consulting, coaching, or some training, both for yourself as well as other team members. And that is done on site, or it can be done remotely. That is what Kingspire Communication will offer you, to help you to make sure that your team is clicking on all cylinders, to make sure that the workplace environment is free of toxicity, to make sure that human engagement, right, and human passion is unleashed in the workplace. That is what makes the difference, and that is what Kingspire Communication will provide you. If you are interested in finding out more, let me invite you to go to www.kingsleygrant.com. Okay, don't forget, that's where you got to go and find out more. Just connect with us and we can make it happen if it's a right fit. It has to be. It has to be, or it won't work. So with that said, let us then get into what you've come for, and that is to hear what our guest has to share with you. So without any further ado, would you put your hands together and let us welcome our guest, Mr. Randy McNeely. Thank you for joining me on the Kings of Grant show, where emotional intelligence and leadership skills intersect. This show is designed for leaders who want to turn around toxic work environments, unleash the human potential, and get better results. Today, we have a special guest on the show. His name is Randy McNeely. Let me tell you a few things about Randy, and we'll fill in the rest as we go. Randy is passionate about and driven to share kindness as a way of giving back to for life-changing kindness shown to him throughout his life. To that end, Randy is a co-founder of Kindness Hunters International. KHI, also known as KHI. KHI is dedicated to inspiring audiences to engage in kindness, given by sharing heartwarming stories of triumph, showcasing amazing organizations, helping others in need, and showing how service and kindness can be a lot of fun. Randy is the author of The Kindness Giver's Formula, 4 Steps for Making a Transformational Difference for Good, a simple 4-step formula for ingraining the habit of daily intentional kindness that will, when implemented, change lives and transform the world. In addition to being an author, Randy is also a singer-songwriter. He and his daughters recorded and released Everybody Speaks Smile to remind everyone that a smile is a simple act of kindness that knows no language barriers. Randy is married to a lovely angel, as he calls her. They are blessed to be the parents of 5 children, 4 daughters, and 1 son. Randy, welcome to the show. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great. Wow. What a wonderful introduction. Thank you so much for having me on. What a privilege and opportunity, you know, wonderful opportunity is for me to be on here with you, Kingsley. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir. And so the question I ask all my guests, Randy, is where in the world is Randy today?
Randy is in the United States in the Midwest, in Iowa, and on a little tiny river town called Muscatine.
Oh, okay, so great. And I know that we're recording this episode during this time of the coronavirus outbreak, so this is a context from which we're recording today. So how is that affecting your town today? How is that going?
You know, it's an interesting thing. It's just like it is in most other towns. I mean, all the churches have been shut down. All the stores that the toilet paper hoarding and water hoarding phenomena is alive and well here as well. You know, we just got notification that they have closed the schools until the middle of April now.
Wow.
And you know, the kids are on spring break this week, but they're going to be on spring break for a month. So
everything has been extended, huh?
Yeah. So, you know, it's an interesting situation. You know, I have a daughter who has been serving as a missionary for our church over in Germany, and she, they pulled all our missionaries, wow, almost all the missionaries out of Europe for, you know, the next while. And so she just got home yesterday, and she's self-isolating in a single bedroom downstairs with a bathroom there. And so it's having a direct impact on us.
Wow. It's really interesting to see how these, you know, we were having a conversation before we started recording today and talking about the key things that are going to help people to kind of get through these trying times, which is going to help even as we get into our interview today. I think this is a great setup because you're speaking about things that really challenges of life we experiences. And sometimes these challenges come that we may not have planned for, and we've got to find a way to get through them. And so I think the topic that we're going to talk about today is going to be a very, very pertinent one to the work environment. So I want to ask this question, Randy, because I find that how we lead others or lead ourselves through this is so important. So when you hear the word leader or leadership, Randy, what comes to your mind?
I think of someone who is willing to stand up and speak out for the things that are right because they're right and not because they're politically expedient. And then they're willing to inspire and lift and help others to do the same thing. They're not in it for themselves. They're not ego-driven. They're driven by a cause, by a desire to help and lift and build and strengthen and improve the conditions around them. You know, and that includes in a family, that includes in a neighborhood, that includes in a community, in organizations, you know, wherever you may be. And a leader is always first and foremost, they're a servant. They're looking for ways to help those around them, and they put the others first.
When that leader is able to function as you described so well, Randy, what might be some of the benefits of that? And if they don't do that, what might be also some of the consequences of not leading that way?
That's a great question. And something that I talk about quite a bit, you know, I've posted about it and I talked to other people about it, is what I call the economics of kindness. And I would make the argument to anybody that the greatest untapped economic power on this planet is kindness. And why do I say that? You know, leaders, to me, who embrace what I call a kindness mindset, are going to be looking for ways, first of all, to produce a product, to produce a service, to produce a commodity that is going to improve the world, that's going to make the world a better place, that's going to make things better for other people around them, that's going to help meet needs. And then they're gonna want, okay, I've got this cause, I've got this thing I'm doing that's gonna be improving the world, that's gonna make this world a better place. Says, I need to create an environment where I have people that are working with me, or I have colleagues that understand what that cause is and understand how they can, you know, be part of helping to move the cause forward, helping to take this, you know, to the next level. Focusing on those things, focusing on empowering the people that are working with you to be successful, helping them to work in an environment where they feel important, where they feel heard, where they feel like their opinion matters, and where they feel like their ideas are going to be considered. You know, they may not all be put into action or into place, but they're going to be at least considered. When people work in an environment like that, what happens? They feel that their creativity is released, their innovation is released. What happens to their loyalty? Their loyalty to the company, it skyrockets. Attrition, you know, you see all these companies that have what I call, like you discuss, a toxic environment where people are not treated like they're important, where their ideas are not considered. They're just dismissed or ignored or belittled, which happens far too often. What ends up happening with the attrition rate in those companies? It skyrockets.
Yeah.
And those companies lose hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars every year because people leave. They don't want to be in that kind of environment. And especially in today's world, you know, with the millennials and stuff like that, they're all over not being part of that environment. Yes. They want to be part of the environment that I just described. Mm-hmm. And when you have that kind of environment, what happens to the care and the attention that they give to your customers? They want to take care of your customers. They have, hey, we have a cause. We have a mission. We want to help you succeed. Here's how we're going to do it. Here's what we're going to do. And they're going to go the extra mile to do that because they feel like they're part of a bigger cause. And when your customers are happy and satisfied, what happens to your opportunities? They all go up. All go up. And then what happens to the prosperity of your organization? The bottom line. It goes up. And the interesting thing in that, all of that, Kingsley, you don't have to focus on the bottom line at all. Not once. I didn't start out talking about focusing on the bottom line. That increase comes as a natural result. You know, every one of us, you and I, we all have the need to live. We all have the need to love and be loved. We all have the need to feel important. We all have the need to have variety. When we can help people meet those needs when they come into the workplace, we can do great things. The interesting challenge, and I bring this up to people, how many of you stop having those needs when you arrive at the workplace? You just dump them at the door. Nobody does. Nobody does. And it doesn't matter if you're the CEO or the janitor, you still have those needs when you walk inside that door. So why not embrace an environment and create a culture where those needs are met, where people can thrive? Because it'll automatically, it's gonna take things to the next level for your organization.
You know, how's that? Randy, I think you have just described, it's interesting that you're describing that. I was brought back just this past week, a friend and myself, we meet and we have lunch, and we happen to be at a Chick-fil-A, and I just use that as an example because I saw this restaurant, which we go to pretty often, and we go there once a week, and we always, it's crowded, it's busy, and yet we'll find our way. We'll wait, and we'll for a table, we wait to be served. Now, one thing I can tell you that is consistent about this one Chick-fil-A we go to, it's the service is one where people are, they want to be there. You can tell the way they treat you, and that is what I'm talking about. They interact with you. They love the kindness. And, you know, I can see how even our, and why it's so crowded many times, is because people are more into how they make them feel and the service and the quality. Yeah. And so this is one of the most busiest franchises of Chick-fil-A there is in South Florida, where I am. And they make massive amount of money constantly because they don't make that the main focus. They make the people and the treatment of their staff and the customers. So I can see exactly how what you're describing really is to the leadership and the company on the ownership, the necessity of focusing on what you describe at, and start there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've been to several Chick-fil-A's, and it's interesting. They have done a great job. You know, a lot of people have protested Chick-fil-A for various political reasons and things like that. But you got to hand it to them for the kind of culture that they have created overall. Yeah. Because most of the Chick-fil-A's that I've ever been to, it's the same way that you just described. Yeah. And there's other organizations out there that are the same way. There's, you know, I love going to mom and pop restaurants, what I call mom and pop restaurants. The small ones have been started by a couple, but they treat the people, they're always crowded.
Yeah.
Because first of all, they really care about the quality of the food.
Yes.
But they treat the people that are there awesome. I mean, they're fantastic. Their customer service is amazing. You know, I'm trying to remember, I don't know where I heard this story. A guy was telling me about how they used to go to this restaurant. I think it was in Georgia. And they would go there, and there's one waiter that they would ask for every time. They would drive from up into Atlanta, clear down, you know, a couple hours south to go to this restaurant. And they would go because they wanted to have this one waiter. And that waiter made more in tips.
I can imagine.
Because, and the reason why is because he bent over backwards to take care of his customers. His manager loved him.
I loved him when he was there because
he always bent over backwards, and people were constantly asking for him because of the kind of service he gave. Economics of kindness, right there in full view.
I like that phrase, economics of kindness, and the kindness mindset you described earlier, Randy. And I was writing some things down here. So here's the thing I wonder, because some people, some leaders, don't necessarily have that as their first go-to because of how they're wired or their personality. Some leaders are very, you know, how their style of leadership may be so aggressive and just so direct that they don't have time to realize how important this is. So how would you speak to a leader who may not necessarily see kindness or this approach as being one that does get to the bottom line probably faster than the way he or she may have been thinking before? How do you get that person to begin to create a mindset like what you're describing?
You know, that's an interesting question. You have to be able to, first of all, they have to be willing to have the discussion. and a lot of them aren't. A lot of them, you start talking to, you even mention the word kindness in a business environment, and it's like, oh, you know, go out and go to church or whatever, you know. So first of all is getting them into a mode where they're willing to talk about it. And then, you know, it starts to, okay, let's take a look at this situation. Okay. You just made, you were able to hustle. You'll be able to slam through this project. You got $5 million for it. Boom. Okay. But how many people left after that project? Well, four people. How much does their salary represent? Oh, $1 million. How much does the business that they were bringing in represent? $10 million. Wow, you just got a $5 million project slammed through. You drove it. Drove it like, you know, you've got the reputation for driving it through and getting it done. How much did it cost your company? And they don't, they see, you know, the bill or the revenue sheet shows, hey, $5 million here, which you don't see over here, but $11, $12 million in attrition, lost sales, all this other stuff. So you can show that you have this record. How long is that going to help you stay in leadership position? Because if that happens over time, results take time to measure. If that happens over time and becomes a pattern, how long is that going to help you continue to be able to be where you would like to be?
And you know, I think also I find some leaders, and you can see, let me know what your thoughts on this, Randy, because some leaders are so they're not in the long term mindset, or as Simon Sinek talks about the infinite game. They're like, okay, let's get this $5 million quickly done, but at what price, as you describe? And so along the way, there are many carcasses left behind, strewn on the side of the street because of getting that done. So the cost, I'm hearing you're saying, of what they may get done, it may not be really worth it in the long term. But not only that, but they could also be creating a very toxic environment within what they have left over of people who are staying there, right?
Yeah. Well, they suffer what I call short-termitis because they really have no long-term vision. They've lost that vision, and where they're, you know, not to wax religious or anything, but there's a great scripture that I like to say, you know, where there is no vision, the people perish.
Yes.
And it's the same. It's true in life. You know, if you don't have a vision, if you're not able to look down the road and see where my actions today, what effect, what impact are my actions today, the things I'm doing, sure, I may be able to reach my short-term goal, but the long-term impact, what's it going to be? Are the results that I'm getting going to enable my organization to continue to thrive down the road? Or am I going to have so much attrition and so many challenges that my organization ends up dying down the road? And that's happened. You know, that's happened.
Yeah.
You know, case in point, my small little town, we have a business that, you know, and I'm not going to name the name of the business,
because, right.
but we have a business that, that was around for a while. And for a while, they were the only game in town for that particular business. Well, the guy who was the general manager over them was a jerk.
Hmm.
He just did not know how to treat people well. And he treated some of their clients in the same way and things. But he thought he could just get away with it because, hey, we're the only game in town. Well, one day, all of his employees, with the exception maybe one or two, all of them walked out.
Wow.
And they went and formed a competing organization.
Mm.
What do you think is happening to that, the original organization? They're still in existence, but man, they are scrambling.
Mm.
They're scrambling. Mm. They're trying to figure out a way to pull their pants back up because they just got
they pulled down really right in the public arena.
In public arena, pulled down to their ankles, and everybody saw.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. No, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that because I find, Randy, that by even sharing those stories, how a person can realize that they need to change probably what's not working. Because I believe that leadership in the 21st century has to be redefined or reimagined if we're going to experience any kind of sustaining this long-term growth process.
Yeah.
But also the people who are your most important resources you have, how to keep them, especially those who now have so many millennials, for example, they are very knowledgeable coming in, and they're not going to put up with what others may have in the past.
Yeah, well, they're not. We live in a time where it's so easy to switch jobs.
Yeah.
And there was a time where, you know, if you looked on somebody's resume and you'd seen that they'd switched jobs like three or four times in the last 5 years, you wouldn't even look at that. You'd just chuck that resume to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, people, because they can change, because of the dynamics, because of the digital age that we live in, you know, people being in long-term places for long-term is not necessarily the norm anymore. And I doubt it's going to be, we're going to return to that anytime
right.
soon, you know, because our world has just changed.
Mm-hmm.
It's changed. And so the only way that we're going to see that, in my mind, and, you know, I'm not going to claim to be an expert. I'm not a doctor of anything, you know, other than I'd like to be the kindness doctor, but, you know. But
you are in my book.
I think, yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Did you write that in your book? No. the only way I can see that people staying longer term in positions is when you establish an environment where they feel like, man, I mean, these guys have such a great mission. I want to stay here. You see people... We live in a time when people want to work for organizations that have a strong cause and that they treat their people the way that we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a long ways to go to get there. There's far too many organizations that still have toxic environments and things like that. But when you can create the cultures that we've talked about, you'll see people staying, I think, a good bit longer. And they'll be offered positions –
yeah.
at other companies for a lot more money, and they'll choose to stay where they are because of the mission, because of the environment, because of the culture.
Yeah,
I've been in an organization that went there because they had a great culture.
Mm-hmm.
Really enjoyed mm-hmm. working with my colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
The work was okay, mm-hmm. you know. But I mean, it's something I could do, and I could help people. I could make a difference for the organizations I was working with. But it was my colleagues were awesome, and the culture that the leadership established was wonderful. I was willing to put up with not so great benefits,
right.
either health wise or otherwise, because I got the pay was decent, and I got to work with great people.
And you're doing something that's in an environment which really kind of feeds your soul rather than saps your
yeah.
energy. So
yeah.
here's a question I want to ask you, Randy. You mentioned in just a few minutes ago. So that leader is experiencing toxicity. What are two or three things he or she could do in the area of kindness that would help to begin to turn turn this company around from the toxicity, even wiping that out? What might be some practical things they could do using kindness as an approach to turn the tide on that?
You know, the first foundational thing I would teach people is to teach them what I write about in my book called The Kindness Giver's Formula.
Mm.
It's really simple, you know, and it's applicable at the individual, family, neighborhood, community, all those levels. basic foundation for kindness. Every day, get up and think, I'm going to be a kindness giver today. Determine that. Make that determination in your mind. If you need to go through a, what I call a Lightning McQueen ritual, where you remember Lightning McQueen from the movie Cars,
Cars,
in the back of his trailer, I am speed. Yes. I am lightning. I eat other cars for breakfast. I am speed, you know. You know, if you need to sit there, I am kindness. I am a kindness giver. And I do, every once in a while, I do that just to get it in my head. But every day, get up, determine that. Second thing, take the time to think about who you're going to be with, where you're going to be, what you're going to be doing, and think about potential opportunities to be kind in those situations. Mm-hmm. I say potential because we can think about and plan things out in our mind, or have them planned out, even written down in our planner. But you know as well as I do, things can be turned upside down on a dime. I mean, look at
yes.
the situation we're in right now. But think about and plan those ways out in your mind. And then the third step, look for and act on opportunities to be kind wherever you go, whatever you're doing. You know, in today's situation, you may not be going out in the public, but there's still plenty of opportunities to look for and act on ways to be kind. You may know people who may need a kind message, or may need to be checked on. Say, hey, do you have everything you need? Do you have enough toilet paper? I've got extra toilet paper. You know, hey, I'm just thinking about you. I just wanted to send you a quick text, let you know I'm thinking about you, and I'm here if you need anything. You know, please call or whatever. We can still, even if we aren't going out and, you know, we're socially distant, we can still think of ways to be kind by sending little notes, or by calling somebody, or by, you know, taking a neighbor some things if you, you know, using common sense.
Yeah.
And within our families at home, treat each other with kindness. Look for, especially in this time when we may be going a little stir crazy, because I've got 7 people at home right now.
Wow. Yes. Wow. It's a lot. Yes.
You know? So.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's the third thing, look for and act on ways to be kind. And the final step is invite and encourage other people to do the same.
Mm.
Now, we can do that on the individual level. We can do that on the family level. We can do that within organizations. You know, you can think about, okay, what meetings am I going to be in today? You know, John did a great job on this last presentation. I need to make sure I let him know how much I appreciate all his efforts. I can spotlight him in the meeting. Or, you know, Susan, you know, did this great presentation over here, or wrote this very thoughtful email. You know, I really appreciated that. We can look for, client X has asked us to do this, but I also know that they do this, this, and this. They haven't asked for it. We can do just a little bit extra, give them this. You know, there are all kinds of ways that you can do that at the organizational level, and apply that and think about ways to do that and look for them. Mm-hmm. And it's applicable, you know, like I said, at the community level, et cetera.
Yeah. And so I think just for a review sake here, as a leader, if you are in a very toxic environment right now, whether you inherited that or it was created under your watch, the way to kind of begin to turn it around using kindness as the lens or the filter to do that, I'm hearing what Randy is saying, that number one, it has to be an intentional aspect. You have to be intentional. You have to, like he said, determine that you're going to be kind. So kindness giver today. Set your mind to become a kindness giver today. Number two, he mentioned about think of an opportunity to whom, where you're going to be, and who can you show kindness with towards. And make an act, take an action step that would be kind to your team member, to your maybe other, if you're leading up to those who are above you. And he mentioned some very specific things you can also do. And then the next thing he mentioned is then you encourage others to do likewise. So you can create a culture where this not become the norm, where everyone is beginning to behave in a very kind manner. And that way, I think I'm hearing you're saying, Randy, that would help to really actually almost eliminate the aspect of toxicity. And not only for the sake of elimination, but it skyrockets performance, productivity, you know, people enthusiasm, all those things are skyrocketed when they're able to get that environment into this kind of what you're describing, I'm hearing.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the interesting thing. You can establish as an organization, you can go through, depending on what your organization is, what your, you know, every organization in the process of establishing a kindness culture, they're going to have some different nuances. It's going to depend on what their products are, depending on what their work environment is, as far as where they're located and how people interact and all that stuff. And so each organization can establish what I call their own, you know, hear the term key performance indicators all the time in business. Mm-hmm. Well, when it comes to kindness, they can establish what I call kindness health indicators.
Mm.
You know, we have a kindness clause in place. We have a kindness resolution signed by the board and by the leadership. We have a kindness policy in place. Onboarding is included as part of our kindness is included as part of our onboarding, and we have established that our managers are not bosses; they're coaches, they're mentors. You know, I remember I was listening to one of your podcasts beforehand. And you talked about how, you know, we need to get rid of the title boss. You know there's a multitude of things you could check, kindness health indicators. Do we have these things in place? And then you can measure how well you're doing by assessing against those kindness health indicators. Mm-hmm. Do we have these in place? Okay. Are people aware of them? How well are they being followed, et cetera? And you can come up with a whole set of parameters that will allow you to do what I call a corporate kindness health check.
Mm.
And, you know, as you do that, what's going to automatically happen to toxicity? It's going to be exposed.
Yeah.
It's going to be exposed. If you have a process where you can interview people, employees, and say, you know, how do you feel about the feedback that you get from your manager, or you know, where you have the opportunity to interview employees one on one about various kindness aspects and things like that. If they're allowed to speak freely, you know, the toxicity is automatically going to come out. And the only way to get rid of toxicity in any environment, whether it's at home or anywhere, is to bring it into the open and then be willing to have the discussions you need to have. How are we going to take care of this? What do we need to do?
Mm.
And whether it's like, you know, you don't necessarily want to get rid of people like you talked about earlier,
but
you give them an opportunity to say, hey, you know, we've had these things said about your environment. These are the issues that have been raised, and you know, we need to, and you're the common denominator for those challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we need, the discussion we need to have now, and have that discussion. It's not an easy discussion, but have that discussion and help them understand, you know, we want to help you. We want to be able to, you know, we hired you in the first place because we appreciate the value that you brought to the company, but be that as it may, we need to have these things taken care of.
Yeah.
And here's let's work out a plan. We're going to work out a plan. We'll give you the opportunity that some people are going to take that and run with it. They're going to be grateful that they've been given the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Other people, you know, it doesn't matter. They're not going to be receptive to it, and you're going to have to make a decision.
Right.
There's a book, From Good to Great.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe I can't remember the name of the author right now, but in that book he talks about a bus, having the right people on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And there's times when you have to say, I'm sorry, you were the right person on the bus before. Now we've had to make a change. You're not going to be able to be on the bus anymore.
And you know, I think that's you're so right, Randy. And I believe that having that conversation is really essential. And like some people who are unwilling to be receptive of that, if you as a business owner are the CEO of a company, and if you want to see your place turn around and see, you know, retention as you would never have never seen before, and people's, you know, I call it releasing the human potential for a work that you've never seen before, then this is a great formula, I believe, for that. So you're the co-founder of Kindness Hunters International, but also the author of the Kindness Givers Formula. Tell us a little bit about those two things, and because people might want to hear about that, and we could see how we could actually have them get to know more about those two things.
Well, Kindness Hunters International was formed with two partners, my wonderful friend, Dr. Ilya Gorgoris, and wonderful director, film director named Elgin Cahill. And we had an idea for a reality TV show driven by kindness. And we want to spotlight. There's so many wonderful individuals, small organizations out there that have been created by wonderful individuals who have had some real challenges in life. But they've triumphed in the face of difficulty, and they've used their challenges as stepping stones to create wonderful organizations that are blessing and helping other people. So we want to give them a voice for their individual story. You know, people love to hear heartwarming stories. Yeah. They like to hear stories of triumph in the face of tragedy. So we want to share those stories, and we want to showcase the organizations that they've created and the amazing things that they're doing. You know, there's so many great little nonprofits out there that are blessing so many people's lives, but they don't have a big platform. They don't have the resources to get into social media and to do all the stuff that other bigger organizations do. And so they don't have the exposure that they ought to have because of the great things that they're doing. And so we want to give them a platform to give them that kind of exposure. And we're going to do some fun. We've got some fun service-based competition that we're going to intersperse with that. And so, you know, right now, given the way the world conditions are, things are kind of on hold because we can't go and film or do the other things that we want to. We're working really hard to get some investors in place so that when the time comes, we can do that. We've got a sizzle reel. We've got some great people. You know, I've got a great team with directors and wonderful producers and film people who have lots of experience in Hollywood, et cetera. So that's another way I want to inspire and spread kindness. You know, if we're going to engage the audience, we want them to understand what these people have done, understand ways that they might be able to help those people. You know, here's the challenges they face. If you're in this area and you have these skill sets, boom, you know, we invite you to get a hold of them and volunteer, get up, take action. And then we're also going to give the audience a chance to vote with their dollars. You know, did these stories resonate with you? Here's a donation page for each of these organizations. We'll have two organizations, you know, vote with your dollars. And then, like I said, we'll have a little tiny competition going on. There'll be a little bit of prize money for whichever organization wins the service-based competition, and have some other fun things that that are going on in addition to that. So that's what that's all about.
So if someone goes to randymcneil.com, they will find out more about that as well there?
Yeah. Okay. Well, actually, if they go to thekindnesshunters.com,
okay.
thekindnesshunters.com, that's where they find out about Kindness Hunters International and our concept there. And if they go to randymcneely.com, that's where they can find out about the Kindness Givers Formula, and which is it's the formula. The book is all about practical information, practical stories for implementing the formula that I talked about earlier, those four steps. You know, it was written really in response to all the violence and we live in a time when we talk about physical climate change all the time. You hear about, you know, global warming, you hear about all these things that are happening to the environment, which are important discussions. We need to have those discussions. We are the stewards of this planet, right? You know, and we need to take care of it. But what we don't hear about is societal climate change. Mm. You don't ever hear that term. Mm. What we're seeing right now before our very eyes, light and hope and love and unity and peace are all being eroded at an exponential rate, and it's readily evident when you watch the news, when you get on social media, you have all these people that hide behind usernames and spew vitriol. Yeah. And, you know, you see the great divide here in the United States with politics. We've never been more divided in my lifetime than we are right now, and it's all they're being eroded by darkness, by hate, by despair, by contention and divisiveness. We see those things raising their ugly heads. We see more violence. We see more suicide. We see, especially among teenagers, we see that the consequences of cyberbullying, you know, people hiding behind those usernames and saying things that they would never say face to face because they wouldn't have the courage to do it, because really they're cowards.
Yes.
They wouldn't have the – so I wrote this book with the firm belief that if we have thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people getting up every day and thinking, what can I do today to be kind, we can really unleash kindness. Kindness can be unleashed around the world through simple acts every day. Some people ask me and say, well, I'm just one individual. How can I make a difference? And I tell them, I respond by saying, think of honeybees. Honeybees, what are you talking about? Honeybees only live anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
During that time, though, they fly thousands of miles and they visit thousands of flowers to gather nectar. And what happens with that nectar? It's taken back to the hive, it's condensed down and turned into honey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think about this. One bee produces in its entire lifetime 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey.
That's nothing. Wow.
But anywhere from 20,000 to 60,000 bees working in one hive collectively, they'll produce from maybe 50, 60, 80, 100 pounds of honey in a year. That's a lot of honey.
Yes.
That's a lot of honey. 1/12 for each bee, but collectively, all those pounds of honey. Extrapolate that out to what I was saying earlier. And, you know, one act, thousands of acts, hundreds of thousands of acts. Think about the sweet nectar of kindness, the sweetness of kindness that could, and the impact that could have on our world. It is especially important right now in this kind of crisis where you got the coronavirus issues. It'd be so easy to retreat into what I call every man for themselves mode or every woman for themselves mode, to turn inward. You know, oh, I got to protect myself, got to protect my family. Yes, common sense, we do need to take care of ourselves. But at the same time, we need to remember that we have neighbors around us. We have other people around us who may be in need of help. And the best way, the only way we're going to survive this is to remember that we're in this together.
Yes.
We're all part of the human race. We're in this together. When I think of situations like this, I think of people like Dr. Viktor Frankl, who was in a German concentration camp. He helped dozens and dozens and dozens of other people survive in the most most extreme, excruciating circumstances. How? Because he, although the Germans controlled everything they did physically, they never controlled his mind.
Yeah.
And he used his mind in a productive way to inspire everyone around him, to remind them that, hey, you know, they may control our environment, but we can still keep a positive mental attitude. We can still carry on and think about things that are going to help us to get, you know, we can still keep that vision, that long-term vision. Corrie Ten Boom, another, I don't know if you ever heard of Corrie Ten Boom, the author of The Hiding Place. She's another amazing example, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can do the same thing now, and we've got to if we're going to, you know, make it through this.
It is possible, my friend. And as you've listened to Randy McNeely, the author of The Kindness Giver's Formula, the co-founder of the Kindness Hunters International, just sharing with us about how to unleash kindness one person at a time, one act at a time. And as we've heard, I hope that you are inspired and challenged to take this, his description of the word was the economics of kindness, into your workplace, and let's transform the workplace so that people's potential can be unleashed and we can see a workplace like we've never seen before. Randy, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today on the Kings of Grand Show. And you have been a tremendous, asset to helping us understand better how to use kindness in my world to eliminate toxicity from the workplace. And what better way to do that? So we truly appreciate you taking the time to do that.
Thank you, Kingsley. What a privilege. Thank you very much. You're very kind. Just a super wonderful opportunity for me to be here with you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, sir.
And there you have it, my friend. I know that we went a little bit longer today, but it was worth it, as you have heard yourself. I wonder what might be the most useful thing that you are going to walk away with from this interview with Randy. I would love to hear. Randy would love to hear. Would you engage us in conversation? One of the best places that Randy and I hang out a lot is on LinkedIn. That's a platform that we use quite a bit. But again, you can connect with Randy directly, as you'll have heard the links, but also it will be in the notes that follow the show. So you can go there and connect with him directly if that is what you so desire. But we'd love to hear from you. And if you engage with us on the platform, comment, ask questions, whatever it is, let us know what your the most useful thing was for you listening to today's broadcast. My friend, I cannot again reemphasize my gratitude for you being here today. Thank you for taking the time to join us and listen to this show and hanging in there for this long. Thank you so much. Remember, my friend, you are one skill away, just one skill. And hopefully today you're brought a bit closer by listening to Randy's interview. With that said, my friend, we need to put the show back into the vault. Would you help me to do that? Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. There it is. Now that the show is safely tucked away into the vault, I can safely exit the command center of the Immortelligent Leadership Institute. And with that said, my friend, peace out. God bless. And I'll see you on the flip side. Yeah.